This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not salt and pepper.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that today.
Oh, that's crazy.
Welcome back, Midday Show. What year is this song from? 90?
This is the 80s, right?
No,
late 80s? 90s?
95.
No, I just remember them tights and them biker jackets.
I feel like it's more like 94 or 95. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm off on this. 215-592-94.
86.
Wow, yeah, you were spot on.
Yeah, because I remember the biker tights and them jackets they had on. Yeah. That was like my childhood right there.
That crafted the person who is today. All right.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on here on the show. Tush push. The Packers are trying to ban this thing. You got the head coach of the Falcons down at the combine saying, yeah.
Hating for no reason.
Straight hater saying this thing should have been banned 3 years ago. If it is banned, if these teams led by the Packers get their way, is it a big deal? Hugh and Kyle think it is. Look, I want to keep it, but I don't think this is going to appreciably change anything. I think the Eagles will get the first downs enough. They will score points enough. I think they have enough good players, smart enough coaches that they will overcome it if it is taken away, even though it is annoying. And the big free agents, the four of them for the Eagles, between Becton and Sweat and Bond and Williams, if you could have two back, who are you going with? 215-592-9494. We'll get to the latest disaster with the Sixers last night as they get rocked at home.
Rocked.
By the Chicago Bulls last night. I believe TK, Tom Kelly, brought his son to his first game last night. That's a tough one. To bring your son.
Dad, how come they stink so bad?
Poor kid.
Yeah, I know. He just ruined the that ruined fandom. I mean, you can't predict that stuff, but you kind of can with the Sixers. Let's go back to the phone lines here. David and Drexel Hill. What's up, David?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
what's
David?
Up, man?
You know, every team in the league got the right to do it. That's why it shouldn't be banned. And if you think about this, will it hurt the Eagles? Maybe 15, 20%. Because I would bet my money, if you gave Jalen Hurts 10 times to get 1 yard, he'll get 7 times. He will score 1 yard.
I think you're right on that, David. Yep.
And then with the tush push, the real reason people never even talk about this, our quarterback, I was told, could bench 400 or 500 pounds.
Yeah, well, the squat. It's that squat.
He's strong.
600-pound squat.
And that's what really helps, too.
Yeah, he's strong.
And here's the move they should ban, Hugh. How about if they ban the quarterback fake? Patrick Mahomes might not have two Super Bowls. He might be two Super Bowls less.
You mean the fake when he runs out of bounds, faking like he about to go out of bounds?
Or he act like he got hit and he falls.
Yeah,
and the ref just go ahead and give him the play.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, David, that's a competitive advantage because there's something to. Yeah, everyone's got to be on the same page that if the quarterback's giving himself up or going out of bounds,
he can't take advantage of the situation.
Then because the defender's going
to
pull up
to get flopping.
Exactly,
he's a perfect flopper, and nobody say nothing. But I just look at that Jalen Hurts, and they will never give him that. Like they said, Barkley was like MVP, which he could have been, but I don't think Barkley won a championship before he came here. I don't think Barkley led the league before he came here.
No, he definitely won a championship.
Yeah, he didn't win a darn thing. I mean,
he's a champion.
But we went to a championship without him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, thank the Lord we got him.
Well, they needed him.
He's a beast.
Yeah.
Jalen is the key factor. Jalen's going to open it up more, airing the ball out this year. And with that running game, we're going to go back to at least the championship. Well, if we don't make the championship game, if we go back to the NFC championship, I'll be satisfied.
Now I want to win it again. I want to have another parade, man.
I definitely want the Super Bowl, because if we win it, Hugh, guess what it does for this city?
What it does?
It makes us line up for three in a row.
Well, that's right. David, yes. See, I mean, you're right. I mean, like the Eagles, the league is right now a Chiefs league and an Eagles league. And look, if the Eagles win the next one, then it tips them.
We might go for three, and let's see if the Chiefs can beat us down.
Let's do it. Yeah, I do think at some point, David, good phone call. I do think at some point we get another Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl.
Be nice.
It just feels like it's destined for round three, kind of the rubber match to decide it. The Chiefs are... I don't know if they're going to go to four in a row and go again next season, but they'll be in the mix. I mean, they'll be in the mix as long as Mahomes is upright.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback, man. And, I mean, they got a good team. And I know it's kind of crazy how people want to diminish what they've accomplished over the years. They're still a good football team, though. No question
about
that. Great
team, yeah. I mean, they're right now the team of this era, and the Eagles have a chance to kind of wedge their way in there after beating them. Kyle, do we have more coaches now chiming in on Tush Push stuff? Because we know Raheem Morris this morning, he threw his hat in the ring.
Yeah, Sean McDermott asked about it. I mean, a coach that runs the Tush Push,
they
by
do.
The way.
I think if you look at the numbers, the team that's run it the second most times behind the Eagles is the Bills.
Yeah.
He's out?
Yep. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
To me, there's always been an injury risk with that play. And I've expressed that opinion for the last couple of years or so when it really started to come into play the way it's being used, especially a year ago. I just feel like, you know, player safety and the health and safety of our players has to be at the top of our game.
Soft.
Sean McDermott. Defensive guys.
Now, here's the thing with Sean. I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. He went to William & Mary. He was here. And I know him pretty well. But didn't you try to run the Tush Push?
So they ran it the second most times behind the Eagles.
Didn't you try to run the Tush Push?
Mm-hmm. And famously failed.
And now you're the guy that tried to adapt to it. Now you want to take the play away, but you tried to run it. Why, help me make – that's just like saying, you know, somebody smoked crack, right? And I start smoking crack, and then somebody say, well, Hugh, is crack bad? Yeah, it's bad, but I used to smoke it. So
smoking crack a great high.
I mean, like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, seriously, why are you complaining about something that you tried to emulate because you tried to – give your team an advantage, because that's how I look at it.
You know,
am I wrong for looking at it?
I think about his offensive line.
I mean, I just tried to, you know, I set you up for that one, Kyle. Yeah, I was looking out for you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
You know, I think about if I'm one of his offensive linemen today.
Well, Coach,
why are we doing this? Like, wait a second. You forgot where you were. You forgot where you were again.
I thought I was into meet you.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're on the air.
Did you see Kyle almost hit the dumb
microphones are on?
It's like something went off in my brain.
He was like, wait a minute.
But like if
I'm his offensive lineman, I'm sitting like, wait,
why the hell we practice this then?
You think it's an injury risk and you're making me do this all these plays?
Yes, that's my point. Like, why are we doing this? You sat there with a straight face and you answered the question, be like, hold up, dog. Didn't you try to do this several times this year?
Yeah, I'm not liking where this is going. The Packers opened up Pandora's box, and now two coaches are like, they're right.
But the timing, you don't think the timing is ironic, though?
In terms of the Eagles winning?
Like, they're coming in, and, you know, like, this is how I look at it. Because they hung out last night. Mm. So Howie and Nick walked into the club, and they came through the door. And it's like, yo, everybody get a bottle on me. You know what I mean? That's basically what they did. They came in the club, and they're like, hey, everybody get a bottle of that Dom Perignon. I got it. Don't worry about it. It's going to get you some of that steak wrapped in bacon. It's on me. They came in big time, and somebody didn't like that. That's on some personal stuff.
So you think the Eagles came into last night to the steakhouse peacocking? They're peacocking.
Oh, man, with the Eagles gear on?
Mm-hmm.
Two-time Super Bowl champions? Yes. And now everybody like, you know what? Never did like that mofo in the first place.
Screw them.
Hey, but I'm gonna take this bottle of champagne and these bacon wrapped meats. But I'm gonna talk bad about it.
Yeah, no one's turning down the free meal. I mean, that's not happening.
That's what happened, man. Mike McDaniel. Who was it? I forgot
Vic,
his name.
Vic.
Vic Fangio came to me. He's like, yo, man, I got, don't worry. Hey, dog, tab on me, cuz I got no, you did me a solid, Playboy. I got you.
I wish I could have a video of Vic Fangio calling Mike McDaniel Playboy.
Yeah, hey, Playboy, don't worry about it. I got you. Hey, drinks on me. No, no, no. You don't pay for nothing. Not while I'm sitting here. Dude, I saw the picture. I saw the rendition on the rings. Ooh. I can't wait to show it to you. That's what he did. That's what they did. Because you know they're going to be big now. They're going to be ridiculously big. And they're going to have some kind of, like, trinket on it. Like, I saw the ones that the Kansas City Chiefs did. They had the you take the top off, right?
Oh, I never saw that.
And it's the stadium inside. You know, the Eagles, Jeff probably going to do something like that. Those rings going to be stupid big.
Well, this is the second one for Jeff and Howie, so they need to make it real
big. It's going to have them two. It's going to have them two Super Bowl trophies on there, the Lombardi trophies. Man, they probably spent, like, last night, probably at least about $2,000-$3,000 in drinks. Probably.
Well, now everyone's annoyed at them for peacocking around.
Yeah. But that's what you do when you win the championship.
Well, that's their time to do it. They're going to speak today at 2 o'clock. Howie and then Nick Sirianni. Ken and Sidemitz is up. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Where is there to spend $2,000 or $3,000 in drinks?
You know what? It's at the bar. Because you buy it, like, kid, you buy everybody drinks. You are the man. So you bought all the drinks from last night. You bought people drinks you didn't even know. You bought friends drinks. So, yeah, you did that. About $2,000-$3,000, about there.
You've been to Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, I have. Okay. That's been but, kid, you know what? That's been about 20 years ago. Where they're at, I think the Shula Steakhouse is still there. So that's a nice little swanky spot. Pretty sure the drinks up there are pretty expensive.
They get some bacon wrapped meats there, that's for sure.
Bacon wrapped meats?
First of all, I would not overpay Milton Williams at all. There's just no way. I mean, as you guys have pointed out, the draft is really, really thick with, you know, three technique tackles. And, you know, you got to remember, you're going to have to extend Jalen Carter. You're going to have to extend Nolan Smith. You're going to have to extend Cam Jurgens. Like, every dime that you overpay for Milton Williams is going to make it that much harder to pay Jalen Carter and pay all these guys to keep them. And, you know, he is the reason that the defense was so much better this year than it was last year was largely because they got younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper. And, you know, if this draft offers you an opportunity to continue to do that, to get younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper, then, you know, Milton, thanks for your service, but, you know, good luck wherever you go get paid, and I'm not mad at you. You know, you earned every dime of it.
Well, my guess is that's the way it's going to play out, that someone's going to offer him the kind of money that they can't do it because they have to pay the other guys in coming years. Ken, I think he's going to get $20 million a year by someone with cap room.
Yeah, he probably will, but it's like when Javon Hargrave went to San Francisco after the Eagles, you know, went to the Super Bowl, and, you know, the 49ers gave him $88 million. Like, that was dumb. And you saw what it ultimately wound up costing the 49ers. So, you know, they're in cap hell now. So, you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity. You got a bunch of cap hits that are going to continue to go up. Jalen Hurts' cap hit is going to continue to rise now. You got all these other guys that are already under contract. You've got to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to continue to get younger and cheaper. And so, for me, it's, you know, obviously Zach Bond is a no-brainer, and I just don't think an off-ball linebacker is just going to command that much. And then, you know, by default, it would have to be Becton if you're talking about two of the four. But, you know, I've got Trevor Keegan in the back of my mind, too. They did draft him last year, and I still think that that guy is going to be the starting right or left guard on this football team in the foreseeable future. So, you know, let's pump the brakes. Everybody wants to pay everybody after you win a Super Bowl.
Everybody ain't going to get paid.
You've got to be smart about it. And you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to get younger and cheaper. And
well, yeah, to your point, Ken, we're talking as with the hope of two out of the four, but there's also a real chance three out of the four leave, and they only bring back one. I mean, that's possible, too. Ken, what do you think? If the tush push is gone, big deal, not a big deal?
Well, just first of all, how arrogant and pompous are the Green Bay Packers? The reason that they're giving is saying that it doesn't involve any skill. Well, the mere fact that there's only one team that can actually do it well kind of shows, you know, kind of proves that it involves a ton of skill that nobody else has. I would respect them more if they just said, you know what, it's unfair, we can't stop it because their guys are bigger and badder and tougher than ours, and so we don't like it, and it's unfair. You know, I think if it does wind up getting banned, and I don't think it's going to get banned because there's no real reason within the rules to ban it. You know, like you pointed out, Sean McDermott, you know, his offensive linemen thinking themselves, well, wait a minute, our head coach is out there saying this is unsafe, and he keeps running it. So he doesn't give a crap about us, right?
That's a bad look on his part.
I don't think it's going to get banned, but if it does get banned, I am confident that the Eagles will find a way within the rules to excel at the quarterback sneak, because that's essentially what it is. And this stuff about it being aesthetically pleasing, I have yet to see a quarterback sneak where somebody says, wow, what a unique play design that was, man. Like, that was really aesthetically pleasing. It's a quarterback.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be effective, yeah.
You'd be surprised. There are some people out there that they will play that aesthetically pleasing card, like when they're watching football.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that's because they don't want to admit the real reason is that they just can't stop it.
Exactly.
So they got their panties in a wad, so oh well.
Yeah, and listen, we'll see how it plays out. Ken, we appreciate the phone call. If we start hearing stuff from the league about aesthetically pleasing, that I understand, because they are, it's a TV show for them. But
yeah,
for fans or opposing fans, like, what do you care? Like, do we
aesthetically please? I want to see some great play design when I watch football.
And again, if this was happening,
I want to see a ballet with a big man running around doing stuff that I'm like, well, that's aesthetically pleasing.
If this was happening 20 times a game, then you'd say, all right, it's becoming rugby. It's a 3 times per game play.
I'm not picking on anybody because I think I don't want Joe thinking I'm picking on the camera because he said that this
morning.
Yeah,
he did. Yeah,
but it's when I think of football, that's not aesthetically pleasing. Is not what comes to mind initially. It's ass whooping. Like, no disrespect, but it's like physicality. It's like, I'm going to impose my will on you. I'm going to make you do something you really don't want to do. I'm going to crush you and take your will and your soul. It ain't nothing aesthetically pleasing about that. That's no. Ugly. That's violent. And it's carnivorous. It's carnage at its finest.
We needed a good carnivorous on the show today.
No, I'm saying because it's like, I think we tend to forget, and people that watch it, they tend to forget, this game is not for the faint of heart. Mm. Like, it's not. People get hurt, bones are broken, back. Like, I look at, like, it's funny because we were in New Orleans, and I'm laughing because I'm talking to some guys, and we all do it. I'm the same way. I John, everybody. It's like you see guys that you remember at their height,
right,
and the way that they look, and I always laugh. Because, like, we all complain about backs tight, you know, knees hurt. And I'd be like, damn, dog. Like, I saw Michael Lewis, beer man. I was like, damn, dog, you old. He's like, you're old, too. You know what I mean? And you think about the sacrifices and the stuff that you did playing against Deuce McAllister, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was a violent game. Wasn't nothing pretty about it. When we played New Orleans that one time we went down there, it was nothing pretty about that game. So when you sit there and say, aesthetically, please, dog, it's not meant to be.
So I think, like, from the perspective of Goodell in the league, there's got to be a balance, because if every play was the tush push, that would be boring. You know what I mean? But that's not the way it is. I don't think we've gotten to a point where anyone who runs Fox or CBS or Amazon says, I don't know, people might turn this off because there's too much tush push. I get why sports want it to be fun and exciting. Like, that's why they opened up the game for passing. It's why they want more stolen bases and running in baseball. I understand all that. It's 3 plays a game. I've never met one person who said, it's getting kind of boring. I just run the tush push every time.
Like, nobody says that, man.
Well, first of all, here, because it's successful, no one's going to complain. But in general, they don't run it that much. None of these plays are that a big a part of the game. That's why I don't think the Eagles can overcome it. And also don't, like, it's really much ado about nothing. That's why these guys come off as so soft.
Yeah,
between
it's
the Packers and Raheem and McDermott. Who's our guess on who's next? Who's the next soft coach to get to the podium and say, ban it?
Dan Quinn.
No, Dan Quinn. Like, the one thing I will say about Dan Quinn, and that's why I didn't think it was the Commodores that did that.
Saying he's not soft?
He's kind of a grimy dude. He tried to be grimy. He's a little grimy.
Yeah, he comes off as a little grimy.
But you put it on Andy.
Huh?
You did.
I put it on.
Wow.
Because, you know why? You know why? I put it on coach because of this. There were some things that I saw, and I'm not going to get into detail, and I didn't know if it was true or not, that I felt that there probably was some rumblings coming out of Kansas City.
Mm.
Because, you know, I saw, you know how we live in a time now where anybody can write a story.
Sure.
And if it's not vetted, you don't know if it's real or not. So, you know, how my algorithm goes.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at a few stories and I didn't say anything because I didn't know how true they were. And then when this came out, I just kind of said, okay, this might fit. That's why I did that.
Yeah, I got it.
I was surprised, but the timing was everything. You know, and I'm talking about the fact, you know, the Swifties, the CJGJ stuff, and the way that a lot of people have been complaining about the way that they've handled this. That's why I kind of felt it was Kansas City.
Yeah, listen, if the Tush Push is banned, it'll be a depressing day in Philadelphia. You know what's depressing all the time? The 20-24-25 Sixers. Can we check in what happened last night? So, a 142-110 loss at home. They gave up 142 points to the Chicago Bulls last night. At one point, they were down 50 points in a basketball game to the Chicago Bulls.
I think they went on a 24-6 run at the end of the game and still lost by 32.
I'm looking at the box score. I don't know who a third of these Bulls are. I mean, if they walked in the room, I wouldn't know who they are. They scored 142 last night. Let's check in with the vibes after the game. Nick Nurse on the vibe of his team right now.
Just the overall vibe was really poor. Mm-hmm. From the start, I think that, giving up 39, almost 40 again in the first quarter just kind of set the tone for the game. And it just didn't seem to be a lot of energy or life or vibe tonight.
I didn't see that coming.
I feel like Nick might quit before the season is over. He sounds so ready to throw the towel in on this season.
Ain't this like the eighth straight loss?
Well, they're winless since Daryl said if you squint hard enough, they can see a championship. So that's going on here.
And then didn't the Bulls come in on a losing streak?
The Bulls are terrible. I mean, their record's just basically as bad as the Sixers.
But this is something. Hey, listen, this should make y'all feel good because I just got this piece of information from Kyle a little while ago, and I just feel like this would be the perfect time to insert it right here in this moment.
Okay, what do you got?
Tobias Harris might be going to playoffs.
The Pistons are like the hottest team.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
I'm not gonna lie.
It's not funny.
That one might get me punched in the face.
You might want to lay low on that.
I might get stuff thrown at me today when I leave the building.
So the Bulls had lost six in a row before they took a 50-point lead last night. Let's hear from Paul George on the team right now and their habits and what he's seeing.
For this group to believe that we can be not even to get to the playoffs, but make a push towards it. I mean, we've shown no sign of a team that will compete. And
did he say that?
Yeah,
he did. Did he say what I just thought he said?
Mm-hmm. We just don't have the habits of a champion or a playoff contending team would have. So, you know, to be honest, right now it's a little far fetched. All we can do is work hard. Try to just keep going for one another, but we've shown no signs of a forget championship, but a playoff contender. Team here.
So he dumped on
Daryl Morey.
I thought the same thing. Forget championship. That was it. Also, but Paul talking about habits of a champion is rich.
That was crazy.
He's never been to the finals.
Well, see, you got caught on that.
Well, what does he know about championship?
But my thing is, I got caught more on. That's a bold statement to make, and you're a part of the problem. Like, you know what I mean?
No, you are.
I mean, you're a part of what's wrong with the team. So if that's how, like, my thing would be this: if that's how you feel, what are you doing to change it? What are you doing to change the culture? Like, that's what I would ask him. Okay, Paul, if you feel so strong about this and you're talking about your teammates, you're in the locker room. What are you doing to help? What are you doing to try to change that?
What's he doing?
Are you coming in early?
You recording new podcast?
Are you leaving late? Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, all jokes aside, like, what are you doing to try to help it make it better?
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, look, if the tank is on, and if it's not, that's embarrassing. If they tried last night and lost and were down 50 to the Chicago Bulls,
that's crazy.
That's a joke. I mean, that really is. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your Tush Push phone calls on the other side, and we'll do a little Clearwater check-in on the other side. The Phillies are apparently seeking another right-handed hitting outfielder. I've got an idea for a trade, and it's not your typical trade, especially at this time of the year, but I've got a thought on a trade I think makes sense for both sides to help the Phillies and get him another outfielder. 215-592-9490 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. We got a big NBA game tonight. Listen up. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers a 50% same-game parlay profit boost for tonight's matchup. The Mavs and Lakers are playing for the first time since their blockbuster trade a few weeks ago. Will Luka come out hot and show the world he's in shape? Perhaps we put together an all-Luka same-game parlay. Go over on points, assists, rebounds. He's going to go off tonight. Mix and match with players on either team for an even bigger payout. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get your same game parlay profit boost for tonight's Mavs-Lakers game. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sports, because the official partner of 94 WIP.
soft.
Sean McDermott, that's two defensive guys.
Now, here's the thing with Sean. I got a tremendous amount of respect for him. He went to William & Mary. He was here. And I know him pretty well. But didn't you try to run the tush push?
So they ran it the second most times behind the Eagles.
Didn't you try to run the tush push?
Mm-hmm. And famously failed.
And now you're the guy that tried to adapt to it. Now you want to take the play away, but you tried to run it. Why, help me make that's just like saying, you know, somebody smoked crack, right? And I start smoking crack, and then somebody say, "Well, Hugh, is crack bad?" Yeah, it's bad, but I used to smoke it. So
smoking crack is a great high.
I mean, like, why? What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, seriously, why are you complaining about something that you tried to emulate because you tried to give your team an advantage? Because that's how I look at it.
You know,
I think about
I think about his offensive line.
I mean, I just tried to, you know, I set you up for that one, Kyle. Yeah, I was looking out for you.
Thank
today.
You, man. Appreciate that.
You know, I think about if I'm one of his offensive linemen today.
Well, Coach, why
are we doing this? Like, wait a second. Yeah, you forgot where you were. You forgot where you were again.
I thought I was at the meeting.
Yeah, no, you're not. You're on the air.
Did you see Kyle almost hit the dumbbell?
Microphones are on.
It's like something went off in my brain.
He was like, wait a minute.
But like, if
I'm his offensive lineman, I'm sitting like, wait,
why the hell we practice this there?
You think it's an injury risk and you're making me do this all these plays?
Yes, that's my point. Like, why are we doing this? You sat there with a straight face and you answered the question, be like, hold up, dog. Didn't you try to do this several times this year?
Yeah, I'm not liking where this is going. The Packers opened up Pandora's box, and now two coaches are like, they're right.
But the timing, you don't think the timing is ironic, though?
In terms of the Eagles winning,
like they're coming in, and you know, like this is how I look at it, because they hung out last night, so Howie and Nick walked into the club, and they came through the door, and it's like, yo, everybody get a bottle on me, you know what I mean? That's basically what they did. They came in the club, and they're like, hey. Everybody get a bottle of that Dom Perignon. No, I got it. Don't worry about it. It's going to get you some of that steak wrapped in bacon. It's on me. They came in big time, and somebody didn't like that. That's on some personal stuff.
So you think the Eagles came into last night to the steakhouse peacocking? They're peacocking.
Oh, man, with the Eagles gear on?
Mm-hmm.
Two-time Super Bowl champions? Yes. And now everybody like, you know what? Never did like that mofo in the first place. Hey, but I'm gonna take this bottle of champagne and these bacon wrapped meats. But I'm gonna talk bad about.
Yeah, no one's turning down the free meal. I mean, that's not happening.
That's what happened, man. Mike McDaniel, who was it? I forgot his name. Vic Fangio came to me. He's like, "Yo, man, I got. Don't worry. Hey, dog, tab on me, cause I got no. You did me a solid, Playboy. I got you."
I wish I could have a video of Vic Fangio calling Mike McDaniel Playboy.
Yeah, hey, Playboy, don't worry about it. I got you. Hey, drinks on me. No. You don't pay for nothing. Not while I'm sitting here. Dude, I saw the picture. I saw the rendition on the rings. Ooh. I can't wait to show it to you. That's what he did. That's what they did. Because you know they're going to be big now. They're going to be ridiculously big. And they're going to have some kind of, like, trinket on it. Like, I saw the ones that the Kansas City Chiefs did. They had the you take the top off, right?
Oh, I never
and you,
saw
and
that.
You, and you, it's the stadium inside. You know, the Eagles, Jeff probably going to do something like that. Those rings going to be stupid big.
Well, this is the second one for Jeff and Howie, so they need to make it,
yeah,
like,
and,
real
and
big.
It's going to have them two. It's going to have them two Super Bowl the trophies on there, the Lombardi trophies. Man, they probably spent, like, last night, probably at least about $2,000-$3,000 in drinks. Probably.
Well, now everyone's annoyed at them for peacocking around.
Yeah. But that's what you do when you win the championship.
Well, that's their time to do it. They're going to speak today at 2 o'clock. Howie and then Nick Sirianni. Ken and Cinnamon sits up. Hey, Ken.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. What's up?
Where is there to spend $2,000 or $3,000 in drinks?
You know what? It's at the bar. Because you buy it, like, kid, you buy everybody drinks. You are the man. So you bought all the drinks from last night. You bought people drinks you didn't even know. You bought friends drinks. So yeah, you did that. About $2,000-$3,000, about there.
You've been to Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, I have. Okay. That's been about, but Ken, you know what? That's been about 20 years ago. The Shula, if where they're at, I think the Shula Steakhouse is still there, so that's a nice little swanky spot. Pretty sure the drinks up there are pretty expensive.
They get some bacon wrapped meats there, that's for sure.
Bacon wrapped meats?
First of all, I would not overpay Milton Williams at all. There's just no way. I mean, as you guys have pointed out, the draft is really, really thick with, you know, three technique tackles. And, you know, you got to remember, you're going to have to extend Jalen Carter. You're going to have to extend Nolan Smith. You're going to have to extend Cam Jurgens. Like, every dime that you overpay for Milton Williams is going to make it that much harder to pay Jalen Carter and pay all these guys to keep them. And, you know, he is the reason that the defense was so much better this year than it was last year was largely because they got younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper. And, you know, if this draft offers you an opportunity to continue to do that, to get younger, faster, more athletic, and cheaper, then, you know, Milton, thanks for your service. But, you know, good luck wherever you go get paid. And I'm not mad at you. You know, you earned every dime of it.
Well, my guess is that's the way it's going to play out, that someone's going to offer him the kind of money that they're just – they can't do it because they have to pay the other guys in coming years. Ken, I think he's going to get $20 million a year by someone with cap room.
Yeah, he probably will. But it's like when Javon Hargrave went to San Francisco after the Eagles, you know, went to the Super Bowl, and, you know, the 49ers gave him $88 million. Like, that was dumb. and you saw what it ultimately wound up costing the 49ers. So, you know, and they're in cap hell now. So, you know, you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity. You got a bunch of cap hits that are going to continue to go up. Jalen Hurts' cap hit is going to continue to rise now. You got all these other guys that are already under contract. You've got to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to continue to get younger and cheaper. And so for me, it's, you know, obviously Zach Bond is a no-brainer, and I just don't think an off-ball linebacker is just going to command that much. And then, you know, by default, it would have to be Becton if you're talking about two of the four. But, you know, I've got Trevor Keegan in the back of my mind too. They did draft him last year, and I still think that guy is going to be the starting right or left guard on this football team in the foreseeable future. So, you know, I just let's pump the brakes. Everybody wants to pay everybody after you win a Super Bowl.
Everybody ain't gonna get paid.
You've got to be smart about it, and you have to continue to use the draft as an opportunity to get younger and cheaper. And
well, yeah, to your point, Ken, we're talking as with the hope of two out of the four, but there's also a real chance three out of the four leave, and they only bring back one. I mean, that's possible, too. Ken, what do you think? If the tush push is gone, big deal or not a big deal?
Well, just first of all, how arrogant and pompous are the Green Bay Packers? The reason that they're giving is saying that it doesn't involve any skill. Well, the mere fact that there's only one team that can actually do it well kind of shows, you know, kind of proves that it involves a ton of skill that nobody else has. I would respect them more if they just said, you know what, it's unfair, we can't stop it because their guys are bigger and better and tougher than ours, and so we don't like it, and it's unfair. You know, I think if it does wind up getting banned, and I don't think it's going to get banned because there's no real reason within the rules to ban it. You know, like you pointed out, Sean McDermott, you know, his offensive linemen thinking to themselves, well, wait a minute, our head coach is out there saying this is unsafe, and he keeps running it. So he doesn't give a crap about us, right?
That's a bad look on his part.
I don't think it's going to get banned, but if it does get banned, I am confident that the Eagles will find a way within the rules to excel at the quarterback sneak, because that's essentially what it is. And this stuff about it being aesthetically pleasing, I have yet to see a quarterback sneak where somebody says, wow, what a unique play design that was, man. Like, that was really aesthetically pleasing. It's a quarterback.
Yeah, they're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be effective, yeah.
You'd be surprised. There are some people out there that they will play that aesthetically pleasing card, like, when they're watching football.
Oh, yeah, I know, but that's because they don't want to admit the real reason is that they just can't stop it.
Exactly.
So they got their panties in a wad, so, oh, well.
Yeah, and listen, we'll see how it plays out. Can we appreciate the phone call? If we start hearing stuff from the league about aesthetically pleasing, that I understand, because they are, it's a TV show for them. But for fans or opposing fans, like, what do you care? Like, do we
aesthetically please? I want to see some great play design when I watch football.
And again, if this was happening,
I want to see a ballet with a big man running around doing stuff that I'm like, well, that's aesthetically pleasing.
If this was happening 20 times a game, then you'd say, all right, it's becoming rugby. It's a 3 times per game play.
And I'm not picking on anybody because I think I don't want Joe thinking I'm picking on the camera because he said that this
morning.
Yeah,
he did, yeah.
But it's – when I think of football, I don't – that's not – aesthetically pleasing is not what comes to mind initially. It's ass-whooping. Like, no disrespect, but it's like physicality. It's like I'm going to impose my will on you. I'm going to make you do something you really don't want to do. I'm going to crush you. And take your will and your soul. It ain't nothing aesthetically pleasing about that. That's ugly. That's violent, and it's carnivorous. It's carnage at its finest.
We needed a good carnivorous on the show today.
No, I'm saying because it's like I think we tend to forget, and people that watch it, they tend to forget this game is not for the faint of heart. Mm. Like it's not. People get hurt, bones are broken, back. Like I look at, like it's funny because we were in New Orleans, and I'm laughing because I'm talking to some guys, and we all do it. I'm the same way. I John, everybody. It's like you see guys that you remember at their height,
right,
and the way that they look, and I always laugh because like we all complain about backs tight, you know, knees hurt, and I'd be like, damn dog. Like I saw Michael Lewis, beer man. I was like, damn dog, you old. He's like, you're old too. You know what I mean? And you think about the sacrifices and the stuff that you did playing against Deuce McAllister, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
It was a violent game. Wasn't nothing pretty about it. When we played New Orleans that one time we went down there, it was nothing pretty about that game. So when you sit there and say aesthetically, please, dog, it's not meant to be.
So I think there, like from the perspective of Goodell and the league, there's got to be a balance because if every play was the tush push, that would be boring. You know what I mean? But that's not the way it is. I don't think we've gotten to a point where anyone who runs Fox or CBS or Amazon says, I don't know, people might turn this off because there's too much tush push. I get why sports want it to be fun and exciting. Like, that's why they opened up the game for passing. It's why they want more stolen bases and running in baseball. I understand all that. It's 3 plays a game. I've never met one person who said, it's getting kind of boring. I just run the tush push every time.
Like, nobody says that, man.
Well, first of all, here, because it's successful, no one's going to complain. But in general, they don't run it that much. None of these plays are that a big a part of the game. That's why I don't think the Eagles can't overcome it. And also don't, like, it's really much ado about nothing. That's why these guys come off as so soft.
Yeah,
between
it's
the Packers and Raheem and McDermott. Who's our pick? Who's our guess on who's next? Who's the next soft coach to get to the podium and say, ban it?
Dan Quinn.
No, Dan Quinn. Like, the one thing I will say about Dan Quinn, and that's why I didn't think it was the Commodores that did that.
Saying he's not soft?
He's kind of a grimy dude. He tried to be grimy. He's a little grimy.
Yeah, he comes off as a little grimy.
But you put it on Andy.
Huh?
You did.
I put it on.
Wow.
Because, you know why? You know why? I put it on Coach because of this. There were some things that I saw, and I'm not going to get into detail, and I didn't know if it was true or not, that I felt that there probably was some rumblings coming out of Kansas City.
Mm.
Because, you know, I saw, you know how we live in a time now where anybody can write a story.
Sure.
And if it's not vetted, you don't know if it's real or not. So, you know, how my algorithm goes.
Oh, yeah.
I looked at a few stories and I didn't say anything because I didn't know how true they were. And then when this came out, I just kind of said, okay, this might fit. That's why I did that.
Yeah, I got it.
I was surprised. And I was, to be honest, I was surprised, but the timing was everything. You know, and I'm talking about the fact, you know, the Swifties, the CJGJ stuff, and the way that a lot of people have been complaining about the way that they've handled this. That's why I kind of felt it was Kansas City.
Yeah, listen, if the tush push is banned, it'll be a depressing day in Philadelphia. You know it's depressing all the time? The 2024-25 Sixers. Can we check in what happened last night? So a 142-110 loss at home. They gave up 142 points to the Chicago Bulls last night. At one point, they were down 50 points in a basketball game to the Chicago Bulls.
I think they went on a 24-6 run at the end of the game and still lost by 32.
I'm looking at the box score. I don't know who a third of these Bulls are. I mean, if they walked in the room, I wouldn't know who they are. They scored 142 last night. Let's check in with the vibes after the game. Nick Nurse on the vibe of his team right now.
Just the overall vibe was really poor. Mm-hmm. From the start, I think that, you know, giving up 39, almost 40 again in the first quarter, just kind of set the tone for the game. And there just didn't seem to be a lot of energy or life or vibe tonight.
I didn't see that coming.
I feel like Nick might quit before the season is over. He sounds so ready to throw the towel in on this season.
Ain't this like the eighth straight loss?
Well, they're winless since Daryl said if you squint hard enough, they can see a championship. So that's going on here.
And then didn't the Bulls come in on a losing streak?
Well, the Bulls are terrible. I mean, their record's just basically as bad as the Sixers.
But this is something. Hey, listen, this should make y'all feel good. Because I just got this piece of information from Kyle a little while ago, and I just feel like this would be the perfect time to insert it right here in this moment.
Okay, what do you got?
Tobias Harris might be going to the playoffs.
The Pistons like the hottest team.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
I'm not
going
to lie.
It's not funny.
That one might get me punched in the face.
You might want to lay low on that.
I might get stuff thrown at me today when I leave the building.
So the Bulls had lost six in a row before they took a 50-point lead last night. Let's hear from Paul George on the team right now and their habits and what he's seeing.
For this group to believe that we can be not even to get to the playoffs, but make a push towards it. I mean, we've shown no sign of a team that will compete. And
did he say that?
Yeah,
did he say what I just thought he said? Mm-hmm.
We just don't have the habits of a champion or a playoff contending team would have. So, to be honest, right now it's a little far fetched. All we can do is work hard. Try to just keep going for one another, but we've shown no signs of a playoff contender. Team here.
So
he just dumped on Daryl Morey.
I thought the same thing. Forget championship. That was it. Also, but Paul talking about habits of a champion is rich, considering he's never been to the finals.
Well, see, you got caught on that.
Well, what does he know about championship?
But my thing is, I got caught more on. That's a bold statement to make, and you're a part of the problem. Like, what I mean?
No, you are.
I mean, you're a part of what's wrong with the team. So, if that's how, my thing would be this: if that's how you feel, what are you doing to change it? What are you doing to change the culture? Like, that's what I would ask him. Okay, Paul, if you feel so strong about this, and you're talking about your teammates, you're in the locker room. What are you doing to help? What are you doing to try to change that?
What's he doing?
Are you coming in early?
You recording a new podcast?
Are you leaving late? Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, all jokes aside, like, what are you doing to try to help it make it better?
I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, look, if the tank is on, and if it's not, that's embarrassing. If they tried last night and lost and were down 50 to the Chicago Bulls,
that's crazy.
That's a joke. I mean, that really is. 215-592-9494. We'll get back to your Tush Push phone calls on the other side, and we'll do a little Clearwater check-in on the other side. The Phillies are apparently seeking another right-handed hitting outfielder. I've got an idea for a trade, and it's not your typical trade, especially at this time of the year, but I've got a thought on a trade I think makes sense for both sides to help the Phillies and get them another outfielder. 215-592-9494. Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. We got a big NBA game tonight. Listen up. FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is giving all customers a 50% same-game parlay profit boost for tonight's matchup. The Mavs and Lakers are playing for the first time since their blockbuster trade a few weeks ago. Will Luka come out hot and show the world he's in shape? Perhaps we put together an all-Luka same-game parlay. Go over on points, assists, rebounds. He's going to go off tonight. Mix and match with players on either team for an even bigger payout. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get your same game parlay profit boost for tonight's Mavs-Lakers game. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of